I feel compelled to try to finish the message I started this morning. And if I don't get through with it, I lose my voice, Brother Jason's going to come up and finish it. No problem for a young man as intelligent as he is to do that and grab it and go. Amen. Good to see Joe in too. Amen. Praise God. And then Matt sitting back there. And their wives, and I appreciate all of them. I tell you, it's good to see folk grow up in the church and then get out serving God's other places, wherever their jobs take them or wherever God leads them. I appreciate every one of them. It's a blessing. I remember when them and Brother Jeff and some of just teenagers around here and got in here and got saved. I say hallelujah. Amen. I praise God for it. I rejoice in that. That's a joy to my heart. That's one of the joys of pastoring, is seeing what God does with folk that come up in the church and God does something for them, saves them, and uses them. Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight, sure enough, but I said for some of y'all may still want to go to the funeral home, but we'll try to obey God best we know how. Stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Did I turn myself on or not? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We this morning used that verse 15 and talked about the scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. We dealt with salvation, being saved. I'm glad that God still saves sinners. Amen. And if you're not saved, God will save you tonight if you'll come and repent and trust Jesus and believe and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God will save you. I said something this morning about that, preaching on salvation. Someone came up to me after church, encouraged my heart and said, never be, apologize, whatever the word was he used about preaching on salvation, because we all need to hear it, amen. And if you're saved, y'all rejoice in it. If you're not saved, y'all to get saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I agree with what Brother Jason said a while ago, glad God saved me one day. How wonderful it is. Now look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's our text for today. Our scripture is profitable. Profitable for salvation. Then notice what else it says. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we're going to talk tonight, we talked about salvation, we're going to talk about sanctification. Don't let that word scare you, because sanctification means set apart. And we are set apart people. If you ever got saved, you got set apart in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We're going to deal with some things about that. And I pray God will touch your heart and help us. Then the third thing we'll talk about briefly is service. And the scripture is necessary for all of these. Absolute necessity.
Amen.
Absolute necessity. Yes. For salvation, for sanctification, and for service. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege of prayer, the privilege to open the Word of God, the privilege to hear the singing of the songs, and God, just to be in the house of God and see everybody that's here, it's a joy. And see these young men that we saw you save here and grow up and become men of God. I thank you for it. I praise your name. I pray you bless them and help them. Then, Father, they may be those here tonight that you're dealing with, and their lives are being challenged, and they may be being called to preach or be a missionary, or they may be in need of salvation. They may need that touch of God to help them just to grow in grace and be a witness for Christ. But Father, whatever their needs are, I pray the Holy Ghost meet the need. Help us preach for a few moments, Lord. I I realize the fact I need you tonight, physically, spiritually, in every way. I need a divine touch of God to help me this evening. I pray for Miss Dosha Parnell and her people tonight, her family. You bless them, help them, strengthen them, encourage them, and we'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In talking about that salvation, I mentioned this morning, I think in closing, about 1 John 5 and talks about knowing that you're saved. Let me say the whole book of 1 John's filled with literally that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. I'm glad God did not give us something that we cannot know about. When God saved us, he gave us a know-so salvation. And so I want you to know that you know, that you know, that you know that you're saved. Amen. When Brother Jason's on the golf course and he's a putting that ball, he knows where he is. He knows where that hole is. He's trying to get that little white ball in. I'm picking on him a little bit now. I just know that he likes to golf. And that's all right in his place. Nothing wrong with that. In his right place. Nothing wrong with hunting or fishing or ball game in its right place. As long as it's in its right place. I just thought I'd plug that in. All right. Amen. Now, Brother Joe Arthur said that you golfers ought to get you a real sport and go hunting. Now, I'm not getting into that. But anyway, I'm glad, praise God, for sanctification. Amen. I'm glad God saved me, birthed me in the family of God, and I know that I'm saved. But John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so sanctification, it's an absolute necessity that we have the word of God. I want you to look back in verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And all that includes sanctification. You put it together, and I praise God for it. We're going to talk about God's divine plan for every saved person is that we become perfect in character and in conduct. Now, some of y'all think about that, and about, you don't want to amen that. Because I said God's divine purpose is for every saved person to be perfect in conduct and in character. Now, are we? That's another question. I didn't say we were. I said it's God's divine plan. I said it's God's purpose for us. And so I realized you had to think about that. I wouldn't have amened it either. Somebody said that. I thought they were saying we ought to be perfect. Now, he does say in verse number, and I'll throw this in the end while I'm at it. In verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. That's what it says. I didn't write the book, I'm just preaching it. And thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that word perfect there means mature, grow up. And so that's what God wants. If our character is not right, our conduct won't be right. Character has to come before conduct, because your conduct won't be any better than your character is. If your character is no good, your conduct won't be any good. And so you need that. We need to have our character worked on. And sanctification means set apart, working on our character so that our conduct will be right, so that we will be matured, grow up in God and be something for God. I'm glad, thank God, that Brother Jason Gregg, now preaching tonight and picking on him because I love him and he's here tonight. And I appreciate him being here, and really kind of wanted to preach him tonight. Just didn't have that liberty to do so tonight, but I appreciate him being here. And fact is, he preached a good message a while ago. I appreciate what he had to say. Well, he said enough a while ago in that gospel, people to hear it, to get saved and born in the family of God. Amen. That's what we need anyhow, is it not? And so I'm just trying to take that a step further tonight and deal with this thing of sanctification, because here's what he said in that. And what I just said was, and by the way, that word perfect and truly furnished come from the same root word, basically in Greek. And it's used in Matthew chapter 4 for mending nets, fishing nets. And I put it together and get the connotation here that he's talking about that we may mature, may grow up, and may be so that we can be like a fishing net and draw men and women unto Jesus Christ. And he said he'd make us fishers of men. And so we are to be fishers and men. If we're fishers of men, then we need to draw the net. And to do that, we need to mature in character and grow up and be in conduct and character as God would have us to be. Now, notice, please, doctrine. And I want to deal with that because it's an absolute necessity you have the Bible for a doctrine. Somebody said you don't need to preach doctrine. If you don't preach doctrine, you don't preach the Word of God. Doctrine is absolutely a necessity. And we need sound doctrine. Look in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to both to exhort and to convince us again, say, he said our doctrine needs to be sound doctrine. And boy, if we ever lived in a day that needs sound doctrine, it's a day we live in. There's all kinds of false doctrine out there. But we need some sound doctrine. Bible, the only way to get sound doctrine is get it from the Word of God. Amen. Look in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptedness, gravity, and sincerity. Uncorrupt doctrine. And we've got corrupt doctrine everywhere, but we don't need corrupt doctrine. We need some good sound doctrine. I want you to look with me, please, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. A sound doctrine here said good doctrine, and said uncorrupt doctrine, good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now look in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. We need some godly doctrine. Amen. And so we put it together. We need some sound doctrine. It's uncorrupt doctrine, good doctrine, and godly doctrine. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And so I tonight believe that we need to preach some doctrine and good sound doctrine from the Word of God. And Trinity, for instance, we believe there's one true living God, do we not? But yet there is God is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, talks about that, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and the Father in heaven by it being one, and said these three are one. That's good doctrine. And amen, those that don't believe that don't believe sound doctrine, good doctrine. And we need to know what kind of doctrine we got. In my new convert class, I deal a long time with doctrine because we need doctrine. We need that right kind of doctrine. Need to know what you believe about salvation. Need to know what you believe about sanctification. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know anything about sanctification. Well, listen to me just a minute. Sanctification, I said the root word means to be set apart. Same root word we get holy from. And the Word of God says, be ye holy, for I have the Lord thy God am holy. Somebody said, you ought never preach about being holy because we can't be holy. I said, it's a perfect will of God that we be perfect in conduct and in character. And that's being holy. Amen. We may not attain to it physically in this physical body, but I want you to know God wants us to strive for and desire to be holy in this world. And that word holy means set apart. It means go beyond. Holy, holy, God's a holy God. He is beyond everything that I know. He transcends everything that I know. Has more power than anything I know. He knows more than anybody else knows. He's beyond all of that, transcends. You and I that are saved are to transcend this world's thinking. We don't think like this world thinks, Brother Jason. We think like Jesus thinks. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And that mind will have you wanting to live right and do right. Amen. You say, well, I'm saved. It doesn't make any difference what I do. If that's your attitude, I seriously doubt you ever even got saved. If you ever get saved, you do care what you do. You do care how you live. You do care what kind of testimony you have. You do care about that. If you don't care about that, God help you. I pray tonight the Holy Ghost back you up in the corner, slap you right, well, get a hold of you right good, and get you under arrest, and let you see yourself lost and without God and need a Savior, and get saved. Amen. How you live is important. And it's not going to get you to heaven. I don't care if you go to church every time doors open, and if you pray every night, try to pray anyway, and you try to do everything right and all that. Don't drink any liquor and don't smoke any joints, and don't go to places and don't chew, smoke, nor spit. You know, you do everything right and everything's okay, then thank God for it. That's okay. But that don't get you to heaven. Getting you to heaven is being born again. What I'm talking about tonight in sanctification, see, you got salvation first in verse 15. And verse 16 started talking about this thing of sanctification, being reproved. Now, reproved. And here we're talking about tonight doctrine first, and got to get that right. Then it says reproof. And let me say about that reproof. In John 16 and verse 17, for nevertheless, Jesus said, nevertheless, expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go out away, if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because you believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He said he would reprove. And reprove is showing you that what's wrong in your life. And preaching will do that to you. Godly preaching, doctrinal preaching, Bible preaching will reprove you. If you're unsaved, it'll show you you're lost and that you need Jesus. If you're saved, he'll get down where you live every once in a while. And if we never get down where you live, we're not preaching all the counsel of God like we ought to. Amen. I'm talking about being separated from the world, living for God, being a testimony. People ought not have to ask you if you're saved. I'll know when you walk around in the store a few minutes, say something different about you. Yeah. Amen, brother. Whatever his name is back there. Cox. Nathan Daddy. Jimmy. Brother Jimmy Cox. Been so long ago, but I forget who he is. Brother Jimmy Cox, he's preaching the other night, and he mentioned the fact about being smiling, going in, everybody asking what he's smiling about, what he's happy about. And he tells him, I guarantee you that bothers them, and then that reproves what they're doing. When you're telling how good God is, when you're going to work tomorrow, are you going to go in and say, well, it's a gloomy day, and and that preacher didn't do worth a flip yesterday, and all that kind of stuff. You're going to go in and say, boy, ain't God good. Didn't God do good? And we had a great time in the house of God and enjoyed there. And God challenged our hearts, stirred our hearts, helped us at church. And you get to tell them about church, about living for God, and God helping you. And then they'll get to thinking about it reproves them. So reproof is bringing you to a place where you see yourself and something that you need. But then he says correction. Now, correction is making right what you've been showed that's wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Where's Justin? Anyway, Justin broke his leg, and they took him to the doctor, and he got fractured. I don't know if he broke it or not. Back there's Joe Hill. He's a good example. He was climbing a tree. He thought his aunt, no. He didn't think that. He just climbed a tree. Got a hold of the wrong limb and fell out. And jarred up his leg real bad. And they thought maybe they couldn't do anything for it. But they x-rayed it and took pictures of it and showed him what was wrong and said, this is what we need to do to fix it. And so they took him down to Simpsonville and they did some surgery on him and fixed it best they could. But when God, the Holy Ghost, turns a light in on you, you get reproof and you get convicted. And then you go to God to help you. He knows how to set that bone exactly right. When he corrects it right. Amen. He sets it right. And everything's put back in place. That's what we're talking about here tonight. And then he said, knowing reproof and correction, but said instruction in righteousness. And it teaches us how to live right. Amen. No one's living wrong, one's live right. And so he helps us. So there's a time for reproof. There's a time to get unconvinced. There's a time for correction, getting things set right.
Hey, the time for confession. By the way, this altar up here, altar in the Bible all the way through, is a place to die. It's a place where people, where sacrifices were made and sacrifices died, blood was shed. It's a good place to die out to sin. It's a good place to bring things that we know is wrong and put them on the altar and die out to them. It's a good place to come and say, God, I need some help and God to help you. And die to self and live unto God. Amen. And so, right kind of living. And so we need that. And I thank God for it. Instruction in Psalms 32 verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shouldest go. I will guide thee. I say hallelujah. He said he'd guide us and he will. I thank him for his guidance and the wonderful help he gives us. In Titus chapter 2 verse 11, 12. For the grace of God appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live godly, soberly, righteously in this present world. He didn't say, wait till we get to heaven and live right now. Live for God now. Be a testimony now. That's what he's saying. That's what we need to do. Now let me give you that service, if you're right quick, in verse number 17. That the man of God may be perfect, that is, matured and growed up, truly furnished unto all good works. And that's, we're furnished, we've got what we need for the work God's called us to do. But there's a caution in this. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There's that word doctrine again. For the time will come, now notice this, for the time will come when they do not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I pause right there and say, amen. We're living in a generation that's turned their ears away from truth and keep themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they don't want to hear preaching, don't want to hear old time preaching and getting down on sin, calling sin sin, and looking at it that way. They want you to tickle their ears and teach us some, just teach us some things. And there's a place for good teaching, Bible teaching. But God chose about who's a preaching to save them that believe. Amen. And I still believe in old time preaching. You can tell that kind, I guess, by now. You figured that much out. But I'm saying to you tonight, if you're going to serve God, you need to serve God like God wants you to serve God, but scripturally, serve the Lord. Serve him as the Bible says, serve him. You follow Jesus to serve him. You have to serve him scripturally. You have to tell people about Jesus. Serve him scripturally. You go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, and come again doubtless rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. And again, I refer to these young men here tonight. You know how they got saved? Because somebody preached the word of God. You know how they got where they are? Serving God because somebody preached to them. Holy Ghost guided them and helped them. They got in the word of God, got to studying that, and God got a hold of them. God did something for them. Thank God for this blessed book. I said this morning the scriptures are absolute necessity. They are. They're profitable. They're profitable. They'll help you. They'll make you, they'll help you be a better person than what you are. If you're getting the word of God, study it, meditate in it, and let it help you every day of your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. If we're going to serve God, then we must be faithful to God. Faithful to his house, faithful to his word, faithful in prayer, faithful to witness, faithful to carry the gospel, faithful to give. Whatever it is, we need to be faithful. God's speaking to your heart tonight. We are dealing with this subject. Profitable. The scriptures are profitable. How much does the scriptures mean to you? The word of God. How precious is it? You ought to thank God you hold the word of God in your hand tonight. Then as God speaks to your heart and God deals with you, maybe reproving you somewhere, showing you something in your life that you need. And I found out a long time ago that the Holy Spirit could speak to hearts on subjects I never said a word about. In the service that I just got through preaching in, somebody tell me something God dealt with them about. God may be dealing with you about something. It may be just the fact you've neglected the Word of God, but it's profitable. Father, I pray tonight the Holy Spirit speak to every heart, speak to every life. God, help us to recognize the Word of God is profitable. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.